Welcome back to the Punters Politics Podcast, the podcast where we make politics simple for the everyday punter like me, Conrad.
And like me, James. And each week we dig into the stuff that politicians hope you don't notice.
Punter James, in this episode we break down a jobs for mates scandal that the government really tried to bury. And we ask why Trust Me Bro keeps replacing actual rules. And at the end, stick around. It's been a while since we've done one of these. I've got a punter's audit on a politician that's come through and that's been asked for.
I do like punter audits.
Because you do want to know which politicians you can trust and which ones you can write off completely.
Yeah, agreed.
Stay tuned. But first up, politician lines it up and, well, hang on. There's a question from left field and, oh my God, I don't believe it. What a maneuver. That has got to be political play of the day. Punter James, it is time for political play of the day, where we break down the political maneuvers that politicians use to get out of tricky situations and see what we can learn from them and see if we can apply it in our own lives.
Now, here's the thing. It's been Senate estimates for the last couple of weeks.
I don't even know what that means. What do you mean it's been Senate? What is what? It's just a time of the year where they do this thing called Senate estimate.
Okay, so the actual government, this is how we keep checks and balances on what they're doing. So it's part of the budget, but the Senate, so the upper house, interviews essentially the government ministers, which are in cabinet, and they make sure that they're spending money appropriately.
Mm. Now, can we just pause to appreciate this boring piece of brilliance for our democracy?
Now, like, it is boring, but it is essential.
If I was a teacher in school still,
yeah,
this is the nerd out where the teacher gets really excited about something super boring and the kids are like, oh, who gives a shit?
For sure.
But honestly, we have a government that makes decisions.
Yes.
Then we have a whole other separate chamber where they scrutinize the people that made the decisions, which in a democracy and bureaucracy, it's actually the best bit of bureaucracy.
Yes.
It stops power-hungry politicians doing whatever they want and getting away with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Helps make it a little bit harder.
And I think the other really cool thing about...
really cool. Yeah, sorry.
I think the other thing to note is that...
We can note it.
The other thing to note is that it's not just the ministers who are in Senate estimates. It is the head bureaucrats, which we've talked about. These are the most powerful people. They own up to $1 million and they might be in control of an agency within a minister's portfolio,
and
like energy or something like something huge. They'll be on $1 million and the minister will be on $220,000.
Wow.
Anyway.
That is not how...
But Senate estimates is so cool.
You know what? It is actually getting cooler because politicians, as they get social media savvy, which is why our political play of the day is ramping up.
Yeah.
Because politicians love to, in Senate estimates, when they're grilling a public servant or a minister from the government, they like to get in their hits and their shots.
Yes.
And like, it's like the latest iteration of Ben Shapiro destroys woke libtard or whatever. You know,
it's that thing.
But it's like, if they were captioning it themselves properly on YouTube, it would be Pocock demolishes silly argument from backbencher.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, did... Anyway, so...
Which happened a fair few times in the last couple of weeks,
which
I'll
is the longest way of ever saying senators have been grilling politicians.
Yes. Yeah.
This week. And from it, we have a few political plays of the days to break down.
Excellent.
Both clips sent in from regular punters.
Perfect.
I've got two clips this week. Both with David Pocock.
Oh, really?
Let's take a look at this first one. We've got politician David Pocock squaring off v. Minister Tim Ayres of the Labor Party, who is the Minister for Industry and Innovation and Minister of Science. Let's take a watch.
Japan is on selling more gas than we export to them.
It's a dinner party discussion, I understand it. It gets on some, you know, gets people going around the place. But the framework is there. It's there because it's in our interests, and it's there because it's better for global emissions efforts.
Straight shot from Pocock. Runs the ball straight up the field.
Just
Japan is exporting more gas.
Yep.
Respond. Politician Tim Ayres, well played with a downplayed. He essentially champed him. He essentially, it's when he goes, oh, it's a dinner party discussion. It's essentially saying, oh, okay, champ.
Exactly.
Literally the attitude of what he's got there. And then he moves to unverified claim. Governments love this one. And I think it works half the time.
Mm.
It's in our interest.
Yeah, the framework is there.
No further details provided.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in our interest. Let's continue.
And then this is a government saying we're going to have it both ways. We're going to say that we're acting. We're going to continue to essentially just swallow the line from Japanese gas companies, hook, line and sinker, when we know that they are actually exporting our gas into Southeast Asia. They are helping invest in new gas infrastructure.
It's just not correct.
It's like Pocock's just explained to him how it actually works and he's just gone, it's just not correct.
He's gone with the reality denial. And once again, it's a weak political play, but it's a very common political play.
Yeah, isn't it just?
When in doubt, and you know the master of this once again.
Oh, yeah?
Daddy D. Trump.
Oh, yeah.
I think everyone's just trying to copy him. Deny, deny, deny. It works for him.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't know if it's working too much here because Pocock, once again, laying out the data, the facts, and the specifics, and the vague denial here. Pocock says, prove it.
Yeah, to the contrary.
Typical political performance from politician Tim Eyre. This is the political playbook people are kind of sick of. I'm expecting a bit more. I would like to see a bit more innovation in the denials
here. Oh, would you?
It's tried and true. Everyone's kind of sick of that. And Pocock, I got to give him bonus points. I mean, that is textbook rugby straight up the field.
It is.
Pick up the ball.
Yes.
Say your point straight away, lay it out in front of him, and all he can do is deny. And then we sit there. Politician Tim Ayres looks a bit dismissive. Well played, politician David Pocock. Next clip, politician David Pocock takes on politician Katie Gallagher, who is the Minister for Women, Government Services, Finances, and Public Services.
Dude, that's a big portfolio,
that's a
right?
That's a Uno deck.
So obviously in the inner circle inner of Albanese.
I've heard it on the inside that this is Albo's right-hand woman.
Okay, so it's like Katie Gallagher, Penny Wong, they're up there.
Yep. Let's check this one out. Pocock, obviously this is why Pocock's getting a lot of airtime. It's like, he's talking gas, he gets our attention.
Yeah.
Any politician picking up the gas talking points and putting it to politicians.
Happy with that.
Happy with it. Here we go.
Why is the government happy to give away 50% of our gas exports royalty-free, PRRT-free?
Well, we have the tax settings we have in place. They reflect decisions of government. The work that other ministers are doing on the future gas strategy, on rebuilding the energy system, making sure that we have that available and raising revenue to support priorities is, it's an all-consuming part of mine and the Treasurer's job.
This was the tactic, and I think it's a good one. I like this tactic from politician Katie Gallagher. It's the resume pad. Increase quantity of words to mask the absence of real answers.
Yes. Yeah, very true.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. And then she's also added in a bit of, I'll say drama. You notice the sigh? This is like, I've been working overtime.
Right.
And all this reminds me of is when I was a teacher. This is how teachers would interact with each other. There was this unspoken competition of who worked harder. And obviously, I was a teacher that's like, I'm not getting paid past 5 o'clock.
Yeah, if you're working harder,
that's on you.
You're a goose. Yeah.
That's on you. And so you'd come back from holidays and I'm feeling fresh. Bloody, I didn't do anything at holidays. Most other teachers, don't take me as an example. Most other teachers do work all the way through the holidays. I bloody didn't. I'm not getting paid for it. So no, thank you. I come back and I'm like, oh, I have a good holiday. And their answer is always, oh, what holiday?
So much marking.
Oh, so much marking. Then I had English, then I got HSC things to repair for, and then I had to tutor a few other students who were falling behind. That's the resume pad.
Yeah.
And it's a good tactic I think you can use at home. I have actually used it quite a few times. Yeah. I don't know if you have. My wife comes home from probably a big day, might see me kicking back, playing a bit of PlayStation. Oh, did you like clean up the house? I could just say, I've cleaned the kitchen. Doesn't sound that good, does it?
No.
I'll say, I mopped the floors, vacuumed, mate, wiped down the bench, that pot that had all the stuff soaked in it. I did that.
Yeah, which you just said.
The dishwasher.
You clean the kitchen.
Anyway, all I'm saying is there's plenty to learn from politician Katie Gallagher. Well played.
Yeah, I think the other one I noticed in just that first bit is these are the decisions of the government, and that's what ministers will do. They will
bit
escape.
Of an arm length distance.
Yeah, they hide behind their own government by saying this is a decision of government.
Well, that's the classic buck pass.
It is. But
to a vague entity.
Yeah, yeah.
That is actually her.
Yeah, it's you.
She's the government.
Yeah,
but when you say the government,
yes.
It's bloody government.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. But lots of the time as well, I don't think we're going to see it in this one.
Yeah.
But they will normally say, that's not a question for me. That's a question for a minister who has their estimates in the afternoon.
And that's a good buck pass.
It's real
should
good.
Should have done that one. But I think the buck really stops politician Katie Gallagher. That's why she had to go to the government.
Yes. Yeah.
Just on a side note here, my comment on Pocock's post here.
Oh, yeah.
Almost 7,000 likes.
Holy dooly.
Not bad.
That's a couple.
Not bad. Let's continue.
Seems like a pretty easy win here if we actually said that these natural resources belong to all Australians. You can export and make a profit, but you actually have to pay for them.
Obvious, overwhelming common sense from Pocock
there.
Yeah,
that's right.
Simply laid out. He's laying out the stuff so clearly. Well played.
Support both in the parliament and in the public. And yet the government went for the weakest option that was proposed by Treasury to reform PRRT. So what's going on here? Why are you putting multinational gas companies' interests and profit ahead of Australians' revenue?
I don't accept that.
Huge.
Masterful setting up with the facts, depersonalizing it with the government.
Yeah.
Because when you personally, I actually use this trick a lot with customer service people.
Okay.
So if I'm on the phone to Telstra,
I know it's not you, but like Telstra.
Exactly. Make sure to not say you guys, because then the operator gets annoyed and takes it personally as if they're Telstra.
For sure.
So yeah. I depersonalize and say, no, well, Telstra has ripped me off for this amount or whatever, or they're not listening.
For
Can
sure.
you help me? We're on the same team
It's
here.
A brilliant play.
It's a brilliant play.
We're versing the issue.
Yeah, exactly. We're on the same team here. And just straight up there, why is the government putting gas revenue above Australian people?
Yeah.
Senator Pocock, I don't accept it. We're going to have to rotate the call.
She was doing so well.
I don't accept it.
I don't accept it. She's been backed into a corner masterfully by Pocock.
Yep.
Her metaphorical arms fold.
Yeah.
She looks the other way
and
just refuses reality point blank.
Yep.
I know that's your view. See, this is why this isn't a good play. When I say to my wife in a scenario, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No.
Yep. No. Politics is all about looking good. I don't think the tactic of toddlers refusing broccoli is the tactic that works.
By rejecting the question, you're saying that that's a good question, but I don't have an answer for it, so I'm just going to reject it.
The interesting play about this, maybe it's more masterful than I give it credit for, because she can't say you're wrong.
No.
He's dead effing right on this thing. So instead of saying you're wrong, maybe there is something to learn from this.
Yeah.
You say, I reject the premise and then hope it sort of moves on, and it had to move on pretty quickly after this.
She could just say, I don't think we're putting multinational companies over the everyday punter.
And here's some proof as to why.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Instead of just rejecting the premise of what he was saying. Yeah.
You just say, she's essentially, I don't think I'm doing that.
Yeah.
And just not needing to. So I think, once again, round goes to Pocock. Politician Katie Gallagher, a strong fight. It's a strong fight. Hey, Punter James.
What?
It is me.
No.
The grand tuba of the Punter Times. It is me.
I think your line is meant to be just punt is fine, not calling yourself the grand tuba.
When I am the head of the Punter Time, I will accept the title because I am the editor-in-chief. This is the segment where we look at the news politicians really hoped you didn't notice and translate it from a fancy media snooze fest into plain punter speak.
Okay, now I'm going to listen to this first headline that you've got. What do you got?
Here's a headline. It's from ABC.
Oh.
Scathing Jobs for Mates review finds government appointments too often look like nepotism.
Okay. Straight away, I don't know what nepotism means.
Sounds bad, though.
So the whole title's lost on me. It does sound bad.
Jobs for Mates, catchy, though.
Yeah, scathing. I do like scathing.
Good
that's
word.
That's good, yep. Far too often. I don't like that. That's loose language. Tighten it up
a bit.
Yeah.
Let's point fingers.
Let's not weasel
out of a lawsuit, shall we?
How often? Yeah.
Not afraid of weaseling into a lawsuit. Here's the Punter Times' headline.
Here we go.
Government that called Job for Mates a scandal immediately discovers exception for its own mates.
Oh, yes. Very good. Very good.
Basically, Punter James, an independent review the government tried to hide has just dropped, and it confirms that the government has deliberately or coincidentally seeming to keep confusing merit with vibes.
Okay. Right?
While continuing to treat taxpayer-funded board roles as a safe space for former politicians and staffers who can't get real jobs. And these are the people that are meant to be independent of party politics because they work for whoever the government is.
But they're getting put in by the Labor Party at the moment.
But they get appointed by whoever's in power.
Yeah. Okay.
And so this report essentially comes out. And so basically, ministers and the government who's in power right now appoint the public service positions. When Liberals were in power, they abused this something shocking.
Okay.
And Labor was just indignant about it. How bad. This is corruption. How could you do something? This needs to change. And all of a sudden, they get into power.
Swing it the other way.
What do you do when you're in power? You said you were going to do something, but you just need to not quite do it. What's the one move that you go to first?
You do a review.
You do a review. You kick the can. Yep. Labor kicked the can 3.5 years ago.
Okay.
Dunk.
Yep.
And then the can came rolling back with our battle we spoke about previously with David Pocock trying to get this report released.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate was like, release it. Labor's like, no. Like, we don't want to release it. It's finally been released.
Mm.
Now we see why they didn't want to release it, because it turns out that, quote, the system as it exists right now that Labor are refusing to change,
yeah,
is not fit for purpose and looks like nepotism. Now, nepotism in the word, the other one, when I give you the definition of nepotism, it's going to be way worse sounding than nepotism itself.
Oh, okay.
Nepotism, we know it's bad. It's like favorable treatment, right?
Okay.
Giving jobs, power, or special treatment to family members or close mates, not because they're the best person for the job, but because of the personal connections.
Yes.
That's nepotism.
Okay, that's bad.
These public servants, they work for us.
Mm.
Would you like the best person to work for public service?
Obviously.
Or would you like his mate?
No, I don't want his mate.
No.
I want the best person in the role.
The qualification just seems to be, were you in the group chat and came for beers on Saturday night?
Yeah, that's right.
So once again, back to these scandals as to why everyone thinks the government's the same. Because Labor said one thing. Now this review comes out and it comes out being, oh, guess what, Labor? Pot calling kettle black, you're just as bad as them for appointing your mates and stacking the deck with your political appointments. Now,
might be an obvious question, but why does the government want their mates in these roles?
Because public service and government kind of like work together, but also kind of push against each other a lot and they can disagree.
Mm.
And the government wants to do something, but public service might come back and say, that's actually a really bad idea.
Yep.
Here's the objective data that we're employed to find for you. And the government's like, no, this is a political winner. I want you to do it regardless. And they kind of like, and some government service positions hold the government to account. So if the government does something dodgy, there are bodies, nerdy bodies that you've never heard of, that you can appeal to, that they can review a government decision and say, actually, that's anti-constitutional or whatever it is.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay.
They can actually hold the government to account.
Yeah.
But if all the people on those boards were appointed by the government of the day.
Yes.
And
all the heads of the public service are also appointed by the government of the day.
Then when the government of the day says, I want you to do this, they're like, okay, we'll see if we can do it. Like, you've got that kind of rapport, quid pro quo, hidden sort of stuff. Lack of independence.
Yeah. If you say to the public, we're going to do a review and you're taking a big stance, you know that it's just going off to Jeff and then it's going off to Steve and then it's coming down to Mary and then it's coming back to you and, hey, guess what? No, we didn't do anything wrong. We're sweet.
Yeah. It's that internal review.
Yeah, that's right.
So they'd prefer that because obviously politicians want less accountability.
Mm.
They want less consequences for themselves.
Yep.
And they just want people in positions that might make their life difficult to just agree with them.
Yes.
And guess who agrees with you the most?
Your mates.
And that's why they get the job. And so the report comes back and exposes all this in much nerdier, boring ways than I've just done.
Yeah, I bet.
And then it proposes, the best thing about reports, they're not useless, but they are a can-kick delay distraction. So then the government can stand up when they're getting grilled and say,
yep,
we've commissioned a report in that. Oh, as soon as the findings come back, then we're going to take action. Oh, we just want the best data available.
What
pesky when that report returns when you're back in government, isn't it?
Yeah. Where in that report, are there recommendations of how to fix it?
Yes. So
now, here's the thing, because out of a report like that, and like out of a Royal Commission and stuff, there's normally hundreds of recommendations. Is there hundreds or is there just a couple of actual ones that are going to make a difference?
I've got a few listed here that they said.
Okay,
there's not
cool.
many of them. Like sometimes they come back with like heaps of them.
Yeah.
So these are the ones that I came across. Shorter terms for boards and stuff, like 4 years.
Okay.
So then if you do get a partisan hack in there, he's only there for 4 years.
Yeah, that's fair.
Cooling off periods, which is a mandatory don't hire your mates immediately timeout.
Yeah.
It's like,
don't do it immediately.
I know your mates, but maybe do it in 6 months, 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
Obviously, okay. Don't start with a low bar of 6 months. Let's start with 5 years.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Because then all your mates are not in government anymore.
Yeah,
and then that's gone. Another one was no ministerial appointments in the 6 months before an election, which means no last minute election favors. Like if you're about to win or lose, it's like, well, if we lose, I'll like put you up in this position here. Because the report found that they would stack boards like justly in the lead up to the election, kind of like curry favors and use it as a currency bargaining chip.
Yes.
How the government kind of does that. And the last good one was have an independent oversight, right? The Australian Public Service kind of oversee it and turning the honours system, which is like, no, it's a ministerial code of conduct, into an actual law with consequences.
So that would be good.
The thing that you want to remember about all the, when the government makes rules for itself, it only wants to make like ministerial codes that if you break them, there are no rules. Remember with the parliamentary register, if you don't register a gift of thousands of dollars and you get caught, There is no consequence.
No.
It's an oopsie daisies, put it on the register.
Yeah, whoops, sorry, I broke the code of conduct. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Yeah, exactly. And so, obviously, the government's solution, once it got these recommendations and the review going, hey, you're giving jobs to your mates, your bludgers, they're preferring to release like a vibes-based framework using all the buzzwords of like...
Hang on, sorry, a vibes-based framework.
Yeah, yeah, you know the ones I'm talking about
yeah,
where it's like...
I do.
They use the strong language of merit, diversity, transparency, all that stuff with a hard no on the cooling off period. So they're like, yeah, no, we want to hire our mates straight away.
Yeah.
And trust us bro policy it's essentially the code of conduct where it's like, we don't need to legislate this. This doesn't have to be a law.
Yep.
Just trust us, bro. That's what politicians... So they've essentially rejected most of the findings, but then the government is essentially going to beef up and talk a big game about what is ultimately a piss weak solution to the thing that they campaigned on.
Okay.
So...
sounds about right.
Yeah. So all this reminds me of is... now, is this just me? But when you were a kid, did you ever have a race with your friend about who can walk the slowest?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a common thing.
No, I think that was a patter for teachers at school. And it was like, righto, we'll all line up. And last one to get to the bin, which is 50 meters away, wins. It's like playing sleeping lions with infants.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let's lay down and pretend to be sleeping lions. And everyone naturally just falls asleep. You get 5 minutes of peace.
Because I remember just with my mates being like, okay, last one wins. And it ultimately results in people standing still.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a dumb race because you can just not move. And this is what politics is.
Mm.
Clearly, no major party want to reach the finish line of non-corrupt loopholes that they take advantage of for their own gain. So it's really a race of who can... but if they're standing still, all us go, oi, you are not moving on this, you bludger.
Yep.
So it's like, who could move the slowest?
Yep.
And Labor have essentially been like, oh, well, we'll introduce a framework.
Here's a review.
And they're making movements, which... they look bloody speedy, like a rabbit next to the turtle that is the Liberal Party.
Yeah.
That didn't even do a review into this. They were like, no, it's fine.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
So anyway, not great.
Jobs for mates, not good.
Not good and likely not to get better.
Interesting to see the framework.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Hey, Punter James, quick question.
Mm.
Do you trust big corporations with your personal data?
No.
What if they promise they'll look after it?
Mm-mm. No.
What if they say, nah, trust me, bro, this time it's different?
Oh, like the Jobs for Mates reports. Especially no.
Right. Because every few weeks, some corporate that has collected all of your personal data gets hacked or loses it.
At this point, I'm just surprised that my bloody toaster hasn't linked my passport or something.
Well, I mean, Punter James, in a perfect world, governments would fine the corporates into oblivion if they have lost your data.
Yeah, or just ban them from hoarding all the sensitive information altogether.
Yeah, but in this world, Punter James...
none of that happens.
No, none of it happens, correct, which means there's one very practical thing that you can do right bloody now.
I sense an ad coming.
Yes, Punter James, you sense a Patreon-approved podcast sponsor. Yes, you do. You sent Surfshark VPN ad. Surfshark VPN encrypts your internet activity, helps you protect your data, especially on public Wi-Fi, mainly when you're traveling, because who's using public Wi-Fi when you have data?
Not me.
And Punter James, I've said it before, I've genuinely been using this product for at least 5 years, long before they sponsored this podcast.
Now, I know you do your homework. That's a strong endorsement.
Mm-hmm. Plus, one subscription covers all your devices, which is very handy if you're bouncing between phone, laptop, or whatever, which I always bloody do.
Minimal effort, maximum privacy.
That's the motto for us. So go to surfshark.com/punters or use code punters at checkout and get an extra 4 months off your Surfshark VPN. There's also a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll find the link and the code in the show notes below.
Surfshark, because hoping your data doesn't leak is not a strategy.
I'd go with that motto. That's a good motto.
There you go. Head punt face Conrad.
Just punt is fine.
Sure.
Just punt is fine.
Someone sent that in. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. You mentioned at the top of the show that we were going to get into a punter's audit.
Now, it's been a while.
It's been a long time. We haven't done one and I'm excited for it. So I would like to know who is getting audited this week.
This clip was sent to me a few times this week on the Punters Politics podcast Instagram page.
The preferred page to send clips. Political maneuvers.
That you would like us to look at.
Cool.
And this was sent quite a lot with, what do you think about this politician?
Mm-hmm.
And the politician is Politician Cosplay Canavan.
Matt Canavan.
Which we have mentioned on the show before.
Yeah,
we have. Cosplay Canavan because he pretends to be a coal mining worker sticking up for the coal miners when he is a Bachelor of Arts in Economics.
Yeah, this was the politician. This is the guy getting makeup coal on his face before he did some sort of presser, right?
Before he did a presser photo shoot sort of thing.
So Cosplay Canavan, it's a great name.
It's a great name and I love it. And, you know, when Donald Trump's onto something, it's given nicknames.
Yeah,
politicians,
yeah, that's
we will follow his lead. So I saw this clip. We'll play this clip and then I'll talk to why it kind of frustrated me because punters need to know, which politicians can you trust?
Mm.
Which politicians are completely full of it and just ignore them? Like, don't even bother listening to them because if you can't be trusted on some things, you probably can't be trusted on most things. So
yes,
just ignore
agreed.
Them. Because there's a lot of politicians you can listen to. We're working out one by one which one. So let's take a look at this clip from politician Cosplay Canavan.
How much do we need to invest to get to net zero?
So I'm not sure exactly what question you're asking over what time frame. What
well,
I was making
the goal is net zero by 2050, so that's the time frame.
That's right. And between now and then, there's a lot of private investment that will take place.
Didn't you just do a modelling exercise?
Yeah, we did. So
how much? What's the figure?
So I'm not sure whether we have a figure of the total amount of investment, but it's also, I'm not quite sure how meaningful the question is. Some of this investment is government, some of this investment will be private sector. In fact, the vast majority of it will be in the private sector.
So it goes back and forth. It's really boring. And this is, sorry, punters. It's a boring clip, but I'm going to explain it as to how you can tell whether you can place politician Canavan in the good faith, trust politician or bad faith, ignore camp. His caption to that, as I build up, the case here is how...
This is on his page.
It's on his Instagram. He's posted this as the classic gotcha. It's the Senate estimates. He's grilling a public servant and he's like, gotcha. Like, you don't
you
know
can't
shit.
Give me a figure.
Yeah, give me a figure. Like, it's so obvious. Yeah, I'm making you look like an idiot.
You've just done the modelling. Of course you've got a figure. Tell me what the figure is.
Correct. Yep. So the whole clip is, hey, look at this silly public servant. Right? Fair play. He's, you know, politician. That's what you do. His caption is, the Labor government doesn't even know how much it will cost to get to net zero. So instantly my red flag's up. I'm like, well, hang on. He asked her, the public servant, I think it's a public servant or is that a politician? I don't even know who that is. He's asked the representative there, what's the total investment? But his caption says how much it will cost.
Okay.
Are you seeing where I'm going with this?
Two different figures?
Two different completely bloody things.
Yeah.
Obviously, his pet thing is net zero, net zero. He's a national senator. They're just jerking off over net zero over there, like complete distraction politics. I'm not going to get into the culture war of it all. Just ignore it. But this cuts to the core of whether he works for you or not. A government loves foreign and private investment in the economy. They love that. They stand up and go, look at how much money this company gave us. This company, look, we built this industry and it was from private investment. It's normally a good thing.
Okay.
And the Liberal Party and the National, they love investment in their local community. Why do they want to keep coal mining jobs in a place? For the investment in the community, for the jobs, et cetera, et cetera. So he's gone, what's the total investment? And his caption, what he's getting at is how much will it cost to get to net zero? He is deliberately, and I put the word deliberately there, confusing everybody and confusing government spending, which would be government investment, which once again has a return investment, and private sector, total sector investment, where the number and the modelling they're running is going, well, you just put solar on your house.
Yeah.
So that's counted in the total investment in the economy. And you gave it to a small business and a guy, you employed a guy, put it on your roof, blah, 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 all of that sort of stuff. Cosplay Canavan is trying to make everyone think that that cost is government spending cost.
Yeah, okay.
So the narrative he's is like, oh, government wasting lots of money, et cetera, et cetera. Whilst if he was in government, he would be saying, and if this was his policy, he'd be saying, look at the private sector investment in the economy we've driven. Look at this is amazing.
Yeah, okay.
And I just thought that was such a dirty tactic. I got to look up this guy and see what his connections are.
Because
I'm just instantly, I'm like, I can't trust this guy.
Yeah.
So I've gone to, obviously, Michael West, independent journalism. And they've done like a Matthew Canavan sort of revolving door.
Oh, he's got an actual profile
page. He's got a full-on profile page.
Yeah, wow.
So thank you to Michael West.
Fantastic stuff.
And support independent journalism like Michael West. He does the following the number crunching over here. So I believe he's like the shadow minister for resources and stuff. So obviously that means we know where he's going to work if he gets into government and then he leaves.
Yep.
Yeah, mining company.
MinRes. Yeah,
so let's take a punt on that. Long running punt. I bet Matt Canavan ends up working as a lobbyist for a mining industry.
Within 6 months if he loses his seat.
Almost within the year.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay. That's a joint one. I think where everyone will be on board with
that. We'll write that down. Keep tabs on our long term punts.
Yeah.
So I thought this point was interesting. Matthew Canavan's brother, John Canavan, was an executive at Peabody Energy from 2011. Now, I don't know if he's the executive now. He might still be an executive. Can I just remind everybody of the tax status, recent tax status of a company like Peabody Energy? $8.6 billion over 3 years of income.
Oh, they've done well.
Zero taxes paid.
Oh, perfect. So the Australian people got nothing of it.
And then they recently paid a little bit of tax.
Mm-hmm.
This is their recent numbers, according to an SBS article here.
Mm.
Total income. So they did pay some tax. Let's have a look at the most recent numbers we got. This is their tax payable. It's like huge bar, little tiny, like couple million off the $8 billion income. So they're making a $4 billion in income. So they're making a lot of money, and I wouldn't say they're upstanding tax-paying citizens.
Mm-mm.
So that's his connections there, his brother's there. Oh, but that's not him. Maybe it's not connected. That's fine. His brother also did a deal where now John Canavan owns 7% interest in a mine.
Yeah, okay.
In a coal mine, specifically. Right. There's some connections there. And then Canavan, as a National Party senator, is also connected to Mark Vaile, chairman of Whitehaven Coal, also not a strong tax-paying cartel.
Okay.
And get this, who's Mark Vaile? Well, he's the chairman of Whitehaven Coal. No, but who was he? Oh, he was previously the Federal Nationals leader and deputy prime minister. A previous deputy prime minister is now an executive at a coal company. So who
would have thought?
So you tell me, Brother James, why do you think Cosplay Cunnerman loves coal so much that he puts it on his face?
Number one, he wants a job after he loses his seat. And number two,
I know someone who can get him that job. It might be your brother.
Jobs for mates.
Jobs for siblings.
Yep. Jobs for family members first. Jobs for mates second.
Family first. That's what it's all about.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
And so anyway, that's the one. So that's thank you, Michael West, for just drawing these connections. I'm not impugning any corrupt behavior. This is all totally legal. I'm just saying punters should know this when he's like, I love coal, blah, 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 renewables, et cetera, et cetera. Other things to keep in mind, just go look at his voting record.
Oh, now this is theyvoteforyou.org.
I'll just hit some highlights.
Okay.
Are you surprised, Punter James, to hear that he keeps voting for offshore oil mining?
No.
Let's be specific about offshore oil mining. When it's drilled offshore, pop quiz.
No,
how many royalties do we get?
Yeah, zero.
Zero.
That's right.
On the offshore stuff.
Yep.
So anyway, of course he's in favour of that.
Yep.
Would you be surprised to hear that he likes voting for reducing the corporate tax rate?
No, but also no. No.
I don't know if you...
Gee, from zero to zero for the last couple of companies we talked about.
Well, that does link with his consistently voting for fossil fuel subsidies. Which is a reverse tax.
Well, yeah, that's
where
right.
Where we pay them.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Would you be surprised to hear that he's voted for unconventional gas mining, reducing taxes for high income earners?
No.
No. He did also vote to reduce taxes for middle income earners. I'll give him some props for that.
Oh, well,
I'll put some context on that. I don't want to be cherry picking data here. I want to be as transparent. Would you be shocked to know that he votes against increasing political transparency?
No.
Would you be shocked to hear that he's voting against increasing restrictions on gambling?
No.
Just a side note, that one.
Yeah, side note.
this is the stuff that just doesn't make him look good, like not a guy for the punters. He voted against the Royal Commission into Banking. Not great. The Royal Commission into Banking, that came out to have some very bad behavior of the banks. So if you're the guy going, no, we don't need one.
Banks are fine.
And then the Royal Commission goes ahead and comes out and it's like, oh, actually, like, it's pretty bad. Yeah, they were scamming dead people, old people, children, whatever it was.
You know what it also tells me? You don't have a mortgage, Canavan. You're not like the rest of us. You don't get it.
He also voted against increasing transparency for big business.
Oh, geez.
Surprise, surprise. Against protecting whistleblowers, against reducing air pollution. Who's against reducing air pollution?
Yeah, wouldn't want to have clean air, no. Oh,
yeah, this also votes against stopping tax avoidance or aggressive tax minimization. Could it be because his brother was an executive of Peabody Energy, which is clearly aggressively tax avoiding?
Yeah, they're minimizing it as much as they
can. Sorry, tax minimizing. I don't know which one's the legal term.
Yeah.
Everything's legal. I haven't said anything's illegal.
Yeah.
And obviously, cuts to it, voted against a resource rent tax.
Mm.
Surprise, surprise. Against capping gas prices. If he had his way, when Russia invaded Ukraine, gas prices went through the freaking roof.
Yeah, the politician Ed Husic was mentioning it last week, right?
Yep. Good recall, correct. And he was like, if we didn't do that, your energy prices would have absolutely
gone up way higher.
Oh, like astronomical.
And it was already a pretty high ceiling they put in anyway, but they would have gone way higher.
So he voted against that. He also voted against creating a federal anti-corruption commission. Ugh. If you like the sounds of that, he's your politician.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, for me, my priorities, one, I don't like politicians deliberately deceiving me. And so when I look at, I want to tax foreign bludgers taking our stuff, this guy is not the man to do it.
No.
He's clearly shown that he's on their team.
Big time.
Oh, and you can also go to openpolitics.com to see
To look at his pecuniary interests.
To look at his interests. And he actually doesn't have, I'm not seeing any shareholdings or anything. So, you know, that's not bad unless he's hiding them somehow. I'm not sure how he would. I'm sure it would say a trust.
Is there a trust somewhere? Or
no,
there...
I'm not seeing a trust. Which
now,
is...
you know where they get hidden? In his brother's portfolio.
Which I'm sure is substantial. But I was looking at these gifts. Ready? Throwback to last week. Guess who also got a $228 meat pack from Hancock Agriculture? Our lady.
Lady Gina.
Gina's.
That's her beef company.
Beef company that you cannot, regular punters cannot buy from Coles or Woolies.
$228, that's like half a steak for Gina.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, one, provided a meat pack value of $228, which was donated. Oh, he donated it. See, that's good. This makes him look like a slightly better guy. He got a meat pack from Hancock Prospecting, which he donated to a meal providing service.
Yeah, good on him, but not out of his own wallet.
That's all I'm saying. I'd like to have a look at which politicians are getting meat
Robin
packs.
Hood, taken from the billionaire, given to the paupers.
Well, that's not bad. Like, at least you donate it. That's pretty good. You got to pay props.
Yeah, it is, but just one?
All right, mate, calm down.
Maybe 10.
All I'm going to say is, which politicians are getting meat packs from Gina? That's all I'm saying. I've just noticed this.
Only the ones on her team.
But why do I say politician cosplay Canavan is deliberately doing this? Because there's also the category of he believes it's the best policy and he believes it's best for the punters. He believes that he really is standing up for the coal miners.
Okay.
This is why I put him in bad faith category. Because he's confusing government public sector investment in an economy, which is good, to government spending, which can be good or bad depending on what the spending is on.
Right.
He's worked as an economist for the Productivity Commission. He's been an executive at KPMG. Holy crap, I did not know that. He's been chief of staff to Barnaby Joyce. I guess that's how you rotate into being a politician.
Yeah.
And he holds a Bachelor of Arts, which you wouldn't know, would you?
No, you wouldn't.
They're the party that often denigrates the arts degrees, don't
they?
Yeah,
don't they?
Bloody
just...
woke people with their arts degrees. And a Bachelor of Economics. If anyone knows the difference between what he's confusing,
yeah,
he does.
Yes.
So he's either somehow got someone else to do his homework whilst getting his degree, and his degree, he got honours.
Yeah, okay.
So he's a smart punt.
Mm.
And that is a red flag.
So he's
because some politicians can be dumb, and that's okay. Some politicians can have different views to me, but they believe it. I think that's okay too.
Yeah.
But politicians that have connections to mining industry,
that know economics,
and that deliberately push talking points that confuse people, that's bad faith politics. And I personally, I believe he has failed the punter's audit.
Oh, you heard it here first.
So I would say, don't collect him as your puntamon in your deck. I would discard as soon as you can. Oh, and anything he says, trade him if you can.
Yeah.
Anything he says, just ignore it. Like, some of it might be true, some of it might not be true. I just can't trust his motives.
Yeah, if you can trust someone sometimes but not other times, you can't trust him, can you?
I that's what I think. It's like, yeah. So anyway.
He wouldn't be in my deck.
Nah. I traded years ago.
See ya.
See ya. Wait, you want to shit the shit?
Got a few minutes, I guess.
Righto, this is the segment that we normally wrap up episodes with, where we'll just engage with random everyday punters that have commented on Spotify only. Remember, the rule of this segment is once we get to 50 comments, we're cancelling it.
No more shoot the shit.
Watch yourself, punters. But this week, we are in a good stead. We have 8 comments, so we are sort of at time of recording, that is.
Yeah.
Number one, punter Rory goes, so, we know James has a huge house. Wrong.
Very astute.
Okay, I'll just read the whole thing and then I have a couple of facts to present to you, Rory.
No.
Number one, he goes, so we know James has a huge house, goes out regularly for fancy top-end dinners, and he's always claiming he has to work when invited to his to events. What's his job?
Got him!
Number one, not to late. I responded.
Can punters comment Can punters reply, what do you think James does for a job?
I responded, now.
All of those are factually accurate. I know James personally, and you're not going to believe James, is it? Oh, yeah, you can't even see his face.
I'm just going to rebut that. I commented straight back away because I was like, hang on. I just said this.
Hey, whoa, you didn't even save it for the segment.
No, I didn't because I was outraged. I was like,
naughty.
This must be a talking point stitch up by Head Punt himself. I just thought.
Nope. Okay. Unaffiliated. Now, you can put my comment on there. Head Punt says accurate.
No, I'm not writing that. First thing.
As my secretary, you
first thing,
Punter
Rory, I don't have a huge house. Just got a normal house.
No, I've been to his house.
Goes
very
out regularly
nice
for fancy top-end dinners.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Number one, probably haven't been out for dinner in about 18 months.
DOS protesters too much. Next comment.
It was a lunch. And claiming her has to work when invited to events.
Doth protesters too much next.
The TikTok awards were on a Wednesday. Of course I couldn't go down. I had to work like a normal person.
I mean, we all know punters. You're clearly getting him defensive. You've hit a nerve.
Punter Rory, I'm coming for you.
You've hit a nerve. We've got him. Got him.
Okay, this one comes in from Punter Christopher. Rarely would I defend Polly's doing private stuff with public money. I think this is in relation to Anthony Albanese getting married at the Lodge.
Oh, we got a defense of that. Here
well,
we go.
Rarely I would, he says. But he goes, yeah, no, he can't just take his security wherever he wants to because the cost of that to the taxpayer would have been astronomically high.
Ooh.
I get where James is coming from, but Albo actually did this in the best, cheapest way possible for the public cost. I think he paid for almost everything he could. Okay. Citations, please.
Citations, please. But
I know I didn't provide any in the first instance, but fair enough.
Well
send
played.
Us a link.
I'd like to see the numbers.
Yeah.
I will retract outrage.
There you go. It doesn't happen
fair.
Often.
Thank you for the fact check. Logically, to someone who doesn't know anything about this stuff, makes sense.
Okay, now here is one from Punter Sipjocks.
Mm-hmm.
I think there needs to be legislation demanding all money going in and coming out of the government is to have receipts.
Then they do, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. Then people will have a bit more trust in the system. It will at least make it harder to build corruption around government finances.
Yeah, so I'm almost certain they do.
Yeah.
And that's why.
That's the role of Treasury.
Yes. And that's why you see in hearings this week, if you're a political nerd like Punter James is, he's watching all those clips. You're seeing the billionaire media machine always getting outraged about what politicians spend on.
Yep.
So there's some going around now about, for someone going ahead to check for hotel facilities or something.
A staffer going ahead to check hotel facilities,
$20,000. In first class, what, business class?
It was business.
It was business.
It wasn't first, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they had to go ahead, it's like, heard of a website?
Yeah, that's right.
Heard of FaceTime?
Yeah.
So that's where it comes out of. And my pushback, I pissed off a lot of punters in the comments this week when I was kind of having a go at one politician who, I get pissed off at politicians who are so outraged about these mismanagement of funds, but don't mention the billions in free gas.
They won't
ever touch it. The cosplay canavans, the James Pattersons, they will never touch that stuff.
Mm.
And I would cop there, we care about proper government spending if they weren't selectively doing it as a distraction. And my point in the comment was, yeah, okay, 90 million is actually piss all compared to 100 billion.
Yeah.
And like, we don't know. And then everyone in the comments like, oh, waste is waste, your Labour shill, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, whatever. But essentially, I'm pretty sure they have receipts and stuff like that. And public scrutiny, it helps because then they can be grilled publicly and they can get backlash and stuff. But I don't know if that alone stops it.
Well, no, I don't think it does because I think we saw Annika Wells, who Minister for Sport, I think, Sport and Communications.
Yeah, that was her.
Flew over to New York to essentially sell the social media ban, which, okay, fair enough. If we're the world leader, going over and selling it around the world so other countries jump on because the policy's good, that makes a lot of sense. That's fine.
Yeah.
But do you need to spend $35,000 on a ticket? But then Albo gets up and says, no, it's all by the books. It's all how it was meant to be done
and this is the thing, $35 does sound like a lot. Because part of me goes, I think she should fly first class. I think our ministers that have to work while here, go there, like
you're happy with
doing
that being
stuff.
Business or first class,
I'm genuinely okay with them flying first class because you have to, I've travelled a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Only in cattle class.
Yes.
And it is brutal.
Yeah,
it is. Like, you know, I'm taking the 42-hour flights.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I could get that minister a flight to New York for $700. But she would be
Seven days to get there.
She'd do a 14-hour layover in Pakistan and then probably connect through China somewhere.
Yeah.
Jump onto a Chinese airline.
Pretty sure there was a boat involved at some point.
Get to the airport outside New York and then get a Greyhound.
Yeah.
I can get you there for less. But I think at the end, you'd need a week to recover.
Yeah.
So, but then, yeah, 35, like it does sound like a lot of money. So I'm on the fence about this one. But my main gripe with the whole spending stuff is like, it just takes political oxygen. I'm in the game of fanning political flames and going, we should care about this one. This is the biggest fire.
Yeah.
And stuff like this sucks the oxygen to these little fires. And I'm like, sure, if you fix this, you've saved 90 million. Cool.
Yeah.
And it's not nothing, but it's not 100 billion.
No,
so
it's
let's
like-
focus on this first and let's go to that fire later. Let's go to the big raging fire now. I mix my metaphors. I don't know if the fire is good or bad at this point now.
Yeah, are we worried about a $35,000 flight or a $14 billion fossil fuel subsidy still giving
That's
out?
That's why
right?
you're here. Thank you.
Okay. And last one here comes from Punter Mads. She says, can we please take a second to acknowledge how insane it is that TikTok has purchased the naming rights to the ICC Sydney, which now goes by the name of the TikTok Entertainment Centre.
Yeah, I was just
and
there.
She thinks it is a joke. And the fact that it's their world first stunt in a country that is the first to ban social media for under 16s makes me question what they're really trying to do.
Well, I don't know if it's any secret, but their job is to propagandize as many young minds as they possibly can. It's the same tactic.
Big time.
As
they don't
gambling
want this
companies.
Social media ban.
It's the biggest tactic. I mean, yeah, definitely. That's their goal. Brainwash the world. That's why social media exists.
Like, I don't see anything outrageous about this, to be fair.
I don't know if I do either. Everything sponsors everything.
Exactly. Should that's I- right. Like Telstra Stadium. You got McDonald Jones Stadium in Newcastle. Like, that's just what corporations do. They will sponsor something big to get their name out there everywhere. So,
I mean, okay, here's okay.
It is weird timing, Punter Mads. I'm with you there.
Yeah, weird timing.
Okay, I've got a few more here.
We are running long. Punter's over on the Patreon. We'll just keep shooting the shit with them.
Okay, we'll continue over there. Yep.
And that's the show, Punters. Remember, videos drop on Instagram and YouTube all week. So if you miss us, head over there. Punters, the only reason anyone sees a podcast these days is because you shoved it in their face. Podcasts do not grow.
Get this into your punt face.
Yes. So all shares to family members over Christmas. As you're talking politics around the Christmas table, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
I'm saying don't do it, but it's going to happen. Mm. And if it does, how about this? Packed with the punts.
Oh,
if politics comes up,
yeah.
One, don't bring it up yourself. But if it comes up inevitably, which it will, you mention the Punters Politics podcast. Send them a reel, but more importantly, send them the podcast.
Send us a voice note of you selling it at the family Christmas
table.
That
would be great. Could you covertly?
Yeah, that's right.
Send us audio recordings of you plugging Punters Politics to your Sky News loving uncle.
To your boomer parents, yeah.
Just send it. We will play it if you can send it.
I actually really like Barnaby Joyce.
Yeah, great. Send it through.
Hey, if you have any questions, any show ideas, send them through to oipunter@punterspolitics.com. Power to the punts.
Power to the punters.